Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Since Donald Trump was elected U.S. president, we hear new news stories each day about possible Russian involvement in the elections, but rarely do we hear anything about Russian politics, its government, and Russian president, Vladimir Putin. Why is he so popular? What are his politics? Who opposes him? And what does it mean to be put on Putin's blacklist? On Putin's Blacklist is a new documentary that tries to make sense of it all. It looks at diverse topics like the politicization of foreign adoption of Russian orphans, political dissidents, propaganda, nationalism, and LGBT rights. Using extensive media clips, new political commentary, and documentary footage, On Putin's Blacklist provides an insider's look at Russia today. The film is written and directed by award-winning documentary producer Boris Ivanov, and it features Justin Romanoff, the well-known Russian-Canadian LGBT activist. The movie just opened in Toronto, so I'm very pleased to have here in studio Boris and Justin to tell us more about On Putin's Blacklist. Hello, Boris.
Howdy.
And hi, Justin.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
So, Boris, President, I'm going to try to say it right, Vladimir Putin is immensely popular in Russia. He was voted into power by a huge majority, maybe over 80%, in a more or less democratic election. So what's the problem?
I think more or less is the problem.
Okay.
The film really has to do with not his elections or, you know, opposition or who his enemies are. The film has to do with how Putin really believes that the West is trying to attack Russia, they're trying to change what Russia is, and that he has to strike against anyone who is trying to espouse these Western values. So that is kind of what the film concentrating on, dealing with adoption, dealing with LGBT community and some opposition members.
But before that, just why, what is the root of his popular, if he is popular in Russia? Why did he become popular? Why do the average Russian person feel about him?
Well, I mean, we can be here for an hour discussing that question. I mean, suffice to say, this Putin is very good at propaganda, at controlling population, controlling opposition. If there's an election, whoever runs against him is the person he's approved to run against him. If he doesn't want the person to run against him, he will figure out a variety of different ways of making sure that that does not happen. So, he is very popular. He's been able to convince Russians that what happens in the 90s and how it was so difficult after Soviet Union fell apart and how the Westerners, you know, made you starve and it was so, you know, terrible to live that you don't want that. I'm a strong man. I will control it. I will make sure to protect you. You just have to trust me. So that's really how he's in power.
Justin, you're an LGBT activist in Canada who started your protests as an out teenager in Russia. What was it like being openly gay in Russia?
It was very horrible because of Russia is a very homophobic country, and homophobia, the government tried to push homophobia towards the people. So when I came out in the age of 13, I was kicked from the school, I was beaten, and I was very naive. So I mailed a letter to Vladimir Putin because if I want a government protected me, but instead the police came to our apartment and said that I should not be gay and I should not stay for human rights. So it was a very difficult experience. I was arrested for protesting against Vladimir Putin and against anti-gay law. I was beaten by homophobics on the street, but police didn't react. So the government is actually making anti-gay law, and government actually tried to push gay people to be in a closet or to leave the country. So a lot of my LGBTQ activist friends, I would say 80% of my friends who was LGBTQ activist leave Russia because of they was repressed by Russian government.
So do you think things are better than when you were there or worse?
It's much worse. For example, recently, Chechen's government in the south part of Russian Federation started to physically kill gay people. So basically, they put cameras on a hotel room. They looking to the social media and social networks, finding gay people in Chechnya, and put them in a prison, torture them there, and kill them there. As a result, as a lot of, like, all of gay people in Chechnya who was funded by Chechen's government tried to leave Russia. And actually, I'm proud of Canada because of Canada is the number one place who take gay people from Chechnya and protect them.
Boris, one of the most heartbreaking parts of your film was about the orphans, many of whom are disabled. Why are there so many orphans still living in orphanages in Russia, and why can't foreigners adopt them anymore?
In Russia, they don't have a social support system. So quite often, if family finds itself in trouble, they don't have a system that maybe financially can support them or assist them. So the easiest way is for those families to take away their kids and put them in orphanages. And, you know, in Russia, people are quite conservatives. They don't believe in condoms often. And people have big families with lots of children. Also in Russia, in children born with disabilities, quite often at the birth hospitals, the mothers are asked if they want to keep the children with disabilities or whether they want to just donate them right now to the orphanages. And a lot of people actually give away their children who have some sort of disabilities, and that's sort of left over from Soviet Union times, where everybody had to be strong, everyone had to build communism together, and if you can't build communism, then maybe you shouldn't be living. So, you know, I know Russian society is, with the help of NGOs in particular, are working on those issues and trying to change it, but of course it takes time, and right now there's still hundreds of thousands of children without parents. And of course, they've been talking about the adoption ban. So first, the adoption ban was to Americans. It was a retaliation for what U.S. Congress passed called Magnitsky Act. This act prevented human rights violators in Russia to invest their money in foreign countries, or primarily United States. Putin was very upset about this law because he thought that Americans are trying to meddle in Russia's internal politics, and it's sort of, you know, he's very anti-West meddling in Russia. So this was how he thought he was going to punish the Americans, is by banning this international adoption to Americans or Russian orphans. And of course, the only people that he punished are the Russian orphans who are now stuck in mega orphanages.
But the next thing that you talk about in the film is why they stopped Canadians from adopting Russian orphans. Can you talk about that?
Yes, and of course, at the same time as the sort of anti-West rhetoric, Putin was also pushing this anti-gay rhetoric. Somehow he figured out, and the whole government system figured out, that if they can attack the gays and kind of unite the Russians against the gays, this is something they can use in the propaganda purposes. So they, you know, first there was the law that prevented what they called gay propaganda, and then that expanded into this law where they prevented adoption of Russian orphans to any country that has any sort of form of same-sex legislation. And of course, Canadians have same-sex legislation. So these families who already met the children they were going to adopt, they already promised the children that they're going to be their parents. And those are the families that get stopped from being able to do so.
Justin, just changing the topic a bit, but I'm interested in your name because Justin is like, well, the Prime Minister of Canada is Justin Trudeau, and Justin Bieber is a famous pop star. And your last name is Romanov, which is like the House of Romanov, which is the Tsar's family. So can you tell about where your name came from and why you use it?
Well, one of the reasons why I choose to move to Canada is because of it's one of the most liberal country, and it's because of it's a place where Justin Bieber was born. So I choose my name Justin after Justin Bieber. And Romanov, it's just very popular Russian name or Russian last name. And I knew that, like, my grandfather had some, like, Romanov, he was like Romanov last name, so I would like to go by that. And it was also safe for me. I was go by Romanov in Russia too when I did a publication, when I was make a publication in internet, because if I was scared of Russian police, if I go by my real names, I just can Russian police can easily find me and hurt me. So I'm always use different from my real name in order to protect myself and my family from
and
Russian government.
As an activist, as an LGBT activist in Russia and now in Canada, how do people communicate?
What do you mean?
How like, do they talk to each other if no one wants to put it online? What do people do?
A lot of people, as me, go by fake last name and first names, not to protect themselves. And people just not scared. A lot of people like not scared to say their opinion about what's going on in Russia, to say their opinion about LGBTQ rights. And unfortunately, like most of people leave Russia or being killed. Like, for example, my friend Alexei Davidov, he was died in my apartment after he was arrested and put in jail for protest against homophobic law.
For protesting.
Yeah. And he died. So, and there's a lot of LGBTQ activists and a lot of human rights activists who killed and died, and who killed by Russian government. For example, last week it was attacked to one independent radio station, Echo of Moscow. So the person just came into the radio station office and
I heard about that. She was stabbed in the neck?
Yeah, she was stabbed in the neck. In a radio station office, and there's only one federal media which is have a different opinion about Vladimir Putin, because of Vladimir Putin control like all other medias, basically, especially TV and radio. So it's really big anti-opposition movement in Russia, and they try to hurt and kick out people who have anti-Putin opinion, and they try to close media who say different opinion about Vladimir Putin.
And this is a question to both of you. So Canadians hear about this, and they want to know what they can do to help dissidents, to help LGBT youth in Russia, things like that. What do you think people should, Canadians should do?
So right now, Canada, it took 33 Chechens from Russia. And the organization called Rainbow Railroad assists them.
Rainbow Railroad.
Yes. And if Canadian want to help for Russian LGBTQ people, it would be great if they can contact, for example, organizations such as Rainbow Railroad and provide help with housing, with financial, because of it's basically what we can do here right now in Canada. It is people who are victims of Vladimir Putin, and they are right now safe in Canada, but they still need help because they are new in Canada.
And Boris, the movie is called On Putin's Blacklist. Are you on Putin's blacklist?
I guess we'll see.
You're originally from Ukraine or Russia?
No. I'm actually originally from Soviet Union.
Soviet Union,
that's
yeah.
That's where the country I lived in. So, yes, we'll see. I mean, I don't feel like my film is controversial in any sort of sense because
it's pretty straightforward.
It's very straightforward. It's information that's available there, but it's the topics that I feel are important to cover. And the reason I made the film is I feel like I have a understanding of North American sort of mentality. And I felt that the media sometimes coming out of Russia, it's hard for people to understand really what's happening. So this film was a way for me to bring important sort of topics that I think are important and cover those.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me, Justin.
Thank you.
And Boris.
Thank you very much.
LGBT activist Justin Romanov is a subject of director Boris Ivanov's new film On Putin's Blacklist, which opens today in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.